And here we go.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
The ball is undressed. I think it missed him.
It did.
Lindor goes to second base.
Wow.
Lindor has already been hit in the face twice this year.
Wow, that is close. That is
that was close.
Undressing is the right word, Gare.
Well, now I got out of the way. That
gets your attention, boy.
Oh man.
So
it almost tore the wig off of him. I mean, not the wig. Toupee. Sorry.
What do you think? I mean, there was how many players hit in the series? We didn't even open the show. We're just like right into it, baby.
Don't worry about it. We'll play catch up in a few. First of all, Keith, how are you? How's it going?
I'm doing good, brother.
I'm doing okay. Doing good, man. What about producer Joe behind the wall here? Is he still around? Did he go eat?
The Mets have only lost one game since the last time we met, so I'm doing pretty good.
I would ask Farachi how he's doing, but his ashes won't talk in this can.
Ooh, a little Undertaker on him. Listen, we will miss the Farachi today. He is off gallivanting with his lovely wife and his children. I hope he's with her. Oopsie. Finally, we got rid of him. But he's having a great time. He's on vacation. Ooh, I told you not to laugh so hard, Joe. I've told you this many times, especially in the bars. You scare the women that way.
Truthfully, Farachi's participating in the new season of Alone. He's in the woods right now, growing a full beard. And
ooh, you think he'll come back with hair? He'll probably use that mud on his head, right, and put twigs in it.
He's growing his beard hair. And then he's going to shave it every few days while he's there and then glue it to his head.
Makes perfect sense.
He's
going to
come back looking like Marv Albert.
Oh, he's going to be wearing high heels and stockings too, huh?
I knew you were going to go there. That's
awesome.
Why I set it up, baby.
Awesome. You're the best. Awesome. Well, since you're setting me up, let me set you up. I am extremely thirsty. Thank you, producer Joe. We appreciate that. A little romance, a little cup of coffee in Brooklyn by the bridge, hanging out.
Brooklyn.
Keith, tell us about it.
You got to give the Brooklyn Zoo.
Don't tell me how to say Brooklyn, all right?
Oh, okay, there.
You're a queen.
We've been here long enough with both Floridians. But, we get to still claim our New York.
We still got a little New York in us. Yeah, we're good. Tell us about Brooklyn Water.
Coffee. BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com. From their roastery to your front door, only the finest beans are hand-selected for your awakening pleasure. Brooklyn Water, check them out, www.BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com. They really are a great company. I've ordered from them several times.
I hear some coffee.
They do. They percolate. You got to say percolate. They have a ton of delicious flavors out there. I'm actually trying to get onto the website right now. So I can look at their flavors.
Yeah,
because
you're
always prepared, as always.
Huh?
What's that?
Well prepared, always. You know this by heart, dude. You can recite like every flavor they have.
Somebody's got to pay for the bills around here, so I got to work. So I ran a little late from work today, but all their coffees are delicious. They have a ton of beautiful, delicious caffeinated
flavors.
That was
a dig. That was a dig at Wanda.
Such as Colombian Supremo. They also have a decaffeinated line, like decaffeinated pumpkin spice. They have Cinnabuzz, which is my favorite. It's a nice cinnamon. I love cinnamon in my coffee. It's a nice cinnamon, naturally flavored
Cinnabuzz
coffee with an extra 50% caffeine per cup. And then there's everybody's favorite, dark roast, dark chocolate. It's a rich chocolatey flavor. A rich, heavy-bodied coffee with a smooth chocolate flavor. Acidic coffee. This low acidic coffee tastes like a melted chocolate bar, rich and silky. But you just got to be careful how much
what happens to him.
Because there is chocolate in it, right? So each cup is how many calories, Rodriguez? I forget.
Zero.
Boom. So you get a third cup and run through a wall, like the Kool-Aid guy, like I always say. There's a couple other flavors out there that are really good, such as Jacked Up Cupcake. There's Winter Wonderland. And then there's chicken and waffles. That's one I haven't tried, actually. I lied. I always say I've tried all of them. I've never tried chicken and waffles. Probably tastes a little like maple-y, probably.
Syrup.
Yeah, they probably put some chicken grease in there. No, I'm just kidding. Check them out now, www.brooklynwatercoffers.com. From their roastery to your front door. Only the finest beans are hand-selected for your awakening pleasure. Check them out now. And if you act now and use the code POPCULTUREPROS, all capital letters, you will get your third bag free. So check them out. Pick a weird flavor that you may not have tried before because it's free, such as chicken and waffles. You're probably going to like it because all their stuff is top quality. BrooklynWaterCoffers.com, guaranteed to ship within 24 hours of its roast date. Let's go Mets.
Booyah. So what a wonderful, wonderful thing you just said, Keith. And when you're ready to drink some coffee, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, but if you're a woman, it's Women's Day today, or it was Women's Day today over at Citi Field. So they must have been drinking Brooklyn Water coffee.
Open Gangnam Style.
Ah, oh, man, you left me hanging, dude. What was up? Style, you did nothing. All right, well, it was Women's Day today at Citi Field. All the Mets had played their womenly songs. I don't know. I thought we may have some video that we could show you who picked what song. But suffice it to say, that's a good way to say it, everybody had a girl song on. Taylor Swift.
I know Brandon Nimmo. Brandon Nimmo had Man, I Feel Like a Woman. Shania Twain.
Oh, my God. Brandon Nimmo had It Feels Like a Woman, huh?
Escobar had Put a Ring
Vogel
on.
Vogelback had Milkshake.
Yeah.
Now that's the one that I wanted him to dance to when he gets to the plate. That's the
one. But did you see the StatCast of how fast he gets around those bases? I mean,
hey,
dude,
Madeline.
He can hustle.
Listen, and once you get the belly moving forward, you know, you get that extra speed, extra burst.
It pulls them.
It's just gravity. It's just science. That was part of the contract they signed. They said, make sure you have at least 32% of belly fat so it'll get you around the bases of 5-3 seconds faster. Anyway.
Right in the team. Did you see him on first base? And the first base coach Kirby was smacking him in the face. Like, what's going on there?
They're having a ball. This is the full team. This is the best team in the NL, period. I don't care. You want to talk about the Dodgers, they may have the best record, but this is the best team. 15 out of 17, okay? Smashing a ball, scoring like 6 runs a game. The staff ERA is like 2-something. I don't know the exact stats, but Keith will let you fill you in on those.
Since Scherzer came back.
We have a fantastic offense right now that's clicking on all gears. We have guys that are pitching, talking to each other, telling each other what to do is what I'm trying to say, and trying to help each other at the at-bat, on the bases. They're playing good defense. They're taking advantage of other teams' defense. Plus, we have the best shortstop in the National League, maybe in the whole league. I dare to say, Frankie. Lindor, okay? Best shortstop in the National League. Break,
Francisco, well, not including today's game because I don't have those stats. But prior to today's game, it's probably better after today. Didn't he have 2 hits today and 3 RBIs?
Two RBIs, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he caught Reyes, by the way.
So let's talk a little bit about that. So Francisco Lindor, since the All-Star break, has a 1.06 OPS. Best of any shortstop in baseball.
That's kicking.
Not the International League, baseball. And let's talk about that. So the Mets' record for RBIs for a shortstop was 82 RBIs, set by the classic one and only Met favorite, Jose Reyes. And he tied that today with 50 games left to go. So obviously that record's about to get destroyed.
He's going to own every record for a shortstop on the team. It's that simple.
Mr. Isaac, I agree with you 100%, sir. And I was listening based off of, you know, how we've been just dominating what you opened up with and what
Isaac.
I was listening to Duquette, and he says the Mets have become truly what I think Steve Cohen wanted them to become, and that's the East Coast Dodgers. Now, we're not the Dodgers. We're the Mets, and we are the East Coast. So all those labels I'm not big on, but I get where he's coming from, and I really appreciate that he's saying that we are as good and have the potential to be a dynasty like the Dodgers have been.
The Dodgers are a dynasty because they're buying themselves a dynasty, okay? At the end of the day, we put together a pretty decent team, and we're building up some young guys. So we're going to be good for a little while. Here's the thing, though. It's not just Lindor, Keith. You know Lindor, and I'm going to call you out on your little defensive faux pas thing with Lindor, because we all remember that little brain fart you had about Lindor a little bit ago, where you weren't so sure about him. But now that he's the greatest shortstop we've ever had, and will be the greatest shortstop in the whole league, have you changed your mind? Do you still think he's a defensive liability? Because it's not all about offense. He brings a lot of defense to the game. And some intangibles. Wait, before you answer this, I'm going to tell you another thing that I want you to think about. He doesn't take days off, okay? He's producing. He's leading the team as best he can, even though Pete Polar Bear is kind of the co-captain. So I'm seeing a little co-captain thing. We can talk about that later, too, if you want. But the guy is putting pressure on the other team. He's staying on the field. He's playing great defense. Is he worth the $340 million now for the next 10 years, Rob?
So let me just
– He might be a bargain.
I don't think I ever called him a liability. I just said I was disappointed, or it was not what I expected from him defensively. And I already said I was wrong for that. Because in the beginning of the year, let's face it, he was throwing the ball low, throwing the ball high. He was making – dropping the ball on relay throws. He was doing some weird things that was making me feel like, okay, he's not necessarily the defensive shortstop I thought he was. But since then, I would say probably since a third of the way through the season we've played now, he has gotten rid of all those little nuances and things like that. That would me personally, because I like to watch a clean defensive game. I'm one of those baseball fans. I love a pitching game. That's why I call DeGrom baseball porn. And that's why I love a defensive game. I love watching slick plays. So I was thinking too much or asking too much, but he's delivering on that now. That too much that I was going on, he's delivering on it. So yeah, I mean, completely I was wrong for saying he didn't maybe not at the time, but that he wasn't meeting expectations, because he's certainly doing that now. Offensively, I was never unsatisfied or unhappy with him this year. I think his first year, I was a little annoyed with some of his offensive woes, but definitely not this year. Even when he was batting 240 something, because I saw all the RBIs coming in, I saw all the plays that don't get a stat that he was doing, such as getting runners over, advising other runners what they should be doing on the bases based off what he sees. So I saw all that, and I had no issue with him offensively this year. And, again, I was wrong defensively. He is meeting all expectations. Sometimes his throws are a little weird to me, but they hit the mark every time. So there's not much I can say about it.
It's as good as it gets. And I'll tell you something. If he makes 1,200 throws a year and he throws 20 of them bad, he's a great shortstop. Besides the fact that we have the best shortstop in the National League, I personally think, and I know every fan that's listening to this show does, I know Isaac does, I know you do, producer Joe for sure, got the best 1-2 pitching combination in all of baseball. We have Cy Grom, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, a little Bret Hart. And we have Mad Max. You don't have to say anything about Mad Max. The name says it. The guy's crazy. He's a great pitcher. He throws anything and everything at you, the whole kitchen sink, everything that he has, and he yells at you. So you really have two of the best pitchers in all of baseball, and they've proven it. DeGrom came back and throws what? 5 perfect innings, Keith. I know you want to talk about this because I know that was a special day for you in the back. And Mad Max, I know Mad Max just does the right thing. He's got like a 1.89 ERA or something like that. And we have a phenomenal pitching staff right now, and I'm so happy. Tell me a little bit more about your porn date with DeGrom, Keith.
Okay, so I'm going to go real quickly as a whole on some of the stats that you sent over earlier, which again are not including today's game, specifically Scherzer. You mentioned Scherzer. Like you said, 1.98 ERA on a year. Last seven starts, 1.37 ERA. Let's talk about Cookie Carrasco.
Sick.
Last six starts for Cookie Carrasco, 1.50. Every one of those six starts are Mets W. Last nine starts for Bassett Hound, 2.19. That's and five of those nine starts, he pitched seven plus innings. That's why our bullpen has been solid, because they've been getting the rest, right?
It does make you nut.
Talk about making you nut. We got Mr. Baseball Porn himself, Jacob DeGrom. The first 18 sliders he threw in his last game were all swung and missed. All of them. It wasn't until, I think, five and two-thirds or whatever it was that they finally put contact on that slider. And he retired the first – I think it was that game. He retired the first 17 batters, or was that when he came back? I'm not sure, but he had a 17-batter streak of when he just retired batters. And on his last start, I think it's 70-some-odd pitches. I'm not sure if that's a record, but I think it's up there. He had 12 strikeouts with 70-some-odd pitches over the course of five.
He holds the record for most strikeouts in 200 innings. Enough said.
Then there's that.
There's just that.
Yeah, Yu Darvish, his first 2,000 innings as a major league pitcher, he has the most strikeouts in history. 200, you're right. Okay. Yeah, imagine 2,000.
That's a lot of innings, dude.
No,
look,
wait.
Like Gelo Perry.
Innings or starts? Now I'm confused on that stat. I'll have to look it up, and I'll bring it back before the show. But there is
strikeouts and innings.
Yeah, it's innings. And it's not 200 innings. It's got to be 2,000. I'll double check. We'll get back to that. But either way, he has that record, whatever that record is. He surpassed Yu Darvish in that 12 strikeout game, his last game. Watching him pitch is amazing. And then he dials it up and he hits 102.
He's not dialing it up. You don't get it. He's throwing smooth and easy. It's his motion now, dude. He goes anywhere from 90 to 102 easily. His slider is faster than the average fastball in the league. Okay, so the average fastball in the league, I think they said was 93 or 94, somewhere in that range. He's throwing a 96 mile an hour slider. You don't have the time. You can't get to that. You can't cover 102 and then cover a 90 mile an hour slider. It's just hard. And he didn't even throw his curveball. He kept shaking Nito off on a curveball. Imagine if he throws a changeup and a curveball at that speed. It's no hitter time and perfect game time. And I can't wait. Honestly, I just can't wait for them to do it. Now, listen, I know we've got a great team. We've got a great shortstop. We've got a great 1-2 combination. But at the end of the day, it's all about team. And I think that the overall team that we have right now is fantastic. I mean, tell me our offensive lineup. Just give it to me from 1 through 9, and I'll tell you what we got, Keith. You know this. You should know this by heart. You know these guys.
We'll start with Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah, Brandon Nimmo. Stayed healthy all year. Now he's proven who he really is.
What about his defense?
His defense has improved because they're placing him properly. He's not a come-in guy. He's a backup guy. So if he's backup, he's okay. But if he's in and he's got a run back, screwed. Good defense, good positioning, much better player.
Let's talk real quick. Let's talk real quick about, and I won't say this when Farachi's on the show, but Sterling Marte, our number two hitter.
Oh, well, you know, Sterling Marte, I've admitted it, that I didn't want him on the team because I didn't really see anything special in him. I didn't realize this guy is a real, true 5-2 player. He can throw, he can run, he can field, and he can hit. He's not putting up astronomical numbers like a polar bear or even like a Lindor. However, he's solid everywhere, and he has given us credibility in this league because it's having him in right field, nobody beats us.
Yeah. I mean, he's great. So then we're going to go to number three, and Francisco Lynn Domination. That's my new name for him, Lynn Domination.
I like it. Lynn Domination. What can you say about the guy that's doing it all? He's doing it all, and he's leading the team into the playoffs. There's nothing else that can be said. What else? He's the best right now. Period. And your boy, this is your guy, so you need to talk about this next guy because this is your
Mr.
guy.
Mr. Alonso, number four. I mean, you know, I've been a – who hasn't? I'm not special in this case, but I've been a huge fan of him since, you know, he was in Double A, right? Love him. He's clutch. And it seems like anytime there's a runner on base, he's going to get him across or move them over. It's just – he's got this knack for moving the runners over. I mean, amazing, right? And then batting five is a little, you know, we'll go a little bit back and forth, but we'll call that the DH from now. We'll call that the
Ruffelbach, Vogelruff, whatever you want to call it. These two guys performing, Keith. I mean, look, you know the big guy. He had three RBIs today. Vogelbach, I think.
Ruff has been coming through really good too, right? So then after him, we're not sure who plays where, right? We just know that the catcher is the last position on the heat.
Then you have McNeil. McNeil's the sixth guy, okay? So McNeil batting, what, like 7,000 in the last 10 games or something like that? But he's killing the ball. He's hitting it everywhere. He's starting to hit for power now, and he plays every position. He doesn't say a word. That's what happens when you smack a squirrel. And you teach him a lesson from the get-go. Listen up, squirrel, and do what I tell you. It was a squirrel that got smacked, not a raccoon.
So then let's combine these two. Let's say Naquin Kanha, right? What I mean, Kanha. He's a very sneaky good player. He's got really good speed. He's got a really good glove. He tracks balls down really well. Evidence today.
Solid.
Yeah, and he's a smart hitter. And then you got Naquin. You know, he's wiry. He's out there. He's fast in the outfield. He's got some pop. He went up against his old team today and this week and kicked their butts around the field a little bit.
He wanted that a little bit more than they wanted it. I'm pretty sure he wanted to show them what they lost. And I picked him up in fantasy leagues, Keith, and he's played well for a certain amount of time. So he's a guy that can get on a streak for a month and a half, 2 months, and really, really add value to the team, which he's doing right now. You know, so you go after those guys and you bring them into your team and you turn them into a Billy is a slacker. Okay, all right. I don't know where that's from. Billy Epler, she's mad because Billy Epler got these guys that fill the position improperly, right? And we've won 15 out of the last 17. We're like 8-0 since Vogelbach came back. Maureen,
talking about our upcoming potential guest as soon as we get through this lineup real quick, who was at the stadium last week, is going to tell us a little bit about it.
We have a guest. I didn't know we had a guest today. Well, that's nice.
Don't keep him waiting too long. So thanks for being patient, Bill. So then we have right after that, there he is.
Hey, how are you?
Nice to meet you, Bill. How are you? You
guys too.
Hey, Bill.
Huge Mets fan. It's great to see him. They're firing on all cylinders right now. And I'm becoming a huge Vogelbach fan. I'm thinking of getting a jersey.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, and the guy is becoming like legend, you know, but New York is like that. They'll make you into this legend and forever into the New York baseball lore. And he's getting there if he keeps doing what he's doing.
Even if he loves forever,
year, you know, based off this, we'll love him forever.
Yeah, he's up there with Butch Husky right now.
Yeah, right. You know, or
Butch Husky. Wow,
Benny Agbayani.
Benny Agbayani. Yeah,
he threw the two out ball into the stands. But what games did you? What games were you at last week?
So I was on my honeymoon, and my wife is a big Yankee fan, and I dragged her to. I keep saying Shea. I dragged her to Citi Field. It was against the Padres. It was the game we lost 2-1. Bassett pitched, and we got there early. We went to the Mets Museum. The place was packed. It was disappointing that they lost, but the fans were amazing. It's just such a fun place to be when the when we're winning. It's just, you know, the place is rocking. The stands are going. There were a couple of Padres fans sitting near us who were giving us a hard time. But I just love going there. This is, I think, my third time this season. I was at the game against the Marlins when Alonso hit the grand salami, which was awesome. I live up in Massachusetts, so I don't get to go as often as I used to. We used to just kind of, you know, I lived in Queens, so it would just be like, hey, you want to go to the game today and just, you know, walk up and buy some tickets. Now it's like a whole big, you know, we got to plan it, and I want to go to Old Timers game, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to get down there. It's a day before I go back to work for the school year.
It's going to be rough. So you're up in Massachusetts near Beantown. You're a Met fan.
I am a Met fan.
That sounds like interesting time. Are you a Giants fan too, by the way?
Or no, Jets, okay. Jets, Islanders, Knicks. It's been a very disappointing, you know, 20 or so years.
That's for sure.
Everybody on this show except for Joe, but he don't know yet. He will be our Giants fan. So we appreciate beating up the Tom Brady in those two Super Bowl appearances. So, yep.
Yeah, well, we have a mutual enemy in Tom Brady, so.
Most of the NFL does.
Yeah.
Real quick, what are your thoughts on the last three games against the Reds?
They've been getting hits. It's been incredible. Like, Escobar's is not been hitting. McCann has been okay. Maybe he's kind of coming out of it. But other than those two, I mean, what bad thing can you say? Naquin's been phenomenal. Vogelbach is my new hero. Love the guy. I'm seeing all the Vogelbach memes on the internet, which are hilarious. And I love that his walk-up music today was Milkshake, which I thought was hilarious.
He's amazing.
Yeah. You know, Alonso's been amazing. Lindor, holy cow. Lindor had 4 hits today, scored 3 runs. I mean, Lindor's just been on fire. And did he tie or break Jose Reyes' record today? I think he tied it.
He tied it today.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're just firing on all cylinders. I was glad to see they gave Marte the day off. He looked a little, you know, sluggish yesterday. But he's been amazing, too. What a phenomenal first inning presence and unbelievable fielder, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
No, he's got a great glove. He's got a great
cannon.
There was that play against the Braves where he kind of got caught flat-footed. And I forgot who it was, went from first to third. And then after that, the whole rest of the game, he was charging the ball. He was gunning people out. He was fantastic.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to sit them down for a minute and let them relax, let them get themselves back together, and then come back the next game.
Yeah, they gave Nimmo the good day off today, too. And, like, you just see him in the dugout smiling and just – I love Nimmo's attitude when he gets walk or he gets hit by a pitch, whatever, the way he just runs to first base and he gets there and he does that thing. And just love that guy. I know he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. I really, really hope we sign Nimmo.
Yep.
I think we will.
I feel like a woman. Yeah. I don't like to get caught up too much in a free agent talk. I'm just want to enjoy what's happening this year, but we're going to move on. Bill, but before we go, just want to know, do you have any
thanks
final
thoughts?
Thanks
for the call, Bill.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. We really appreciate your
final thoughts. Glad to see the Braves in our rearview mirror getting a little further away. And tonight I'm rooting for the Boston Red Sox.
They're right there by you.
They disappointed me last night.
They did. I thought they were going to take it, but we'll get them tonight.
Extra innings.
Yeah, I don't really care about the Red Sox, but tonight I'm a Red Sox fan.
There you go.
But hey, anytime you know, you're down at Shea, almost did it through City Field.
I do it too.
Post some pics up on the Facebook page or Twitter, and you know, give us a call, jump on a chat. We appreciate you, Bill. Thanks so much.
We'll do. Absolutely. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, Bill.
And let's go Mets.
Appreciate you. Let's go Mets, baby.
Bye.
Okay, so that's Bill, Joe's friend. I'm assuming that's Joe's buddy from. Mass?
Yes, he said he's from Mass. Good, that was a good guest.
Yeah, very, a little bit of a surprise. I would have liked to have known
where I didn't know either. I just went with it. I was like, you know, hey.
Well, you know, I can't really see what's happening because I'm on a phone. So
yeah. Oh, that's right. You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I sprung that on you. He's a buddy from high school in Queens. We used to have season tickets to the Mets at Shea together, you know. So I know he's an old school Met. While we were doing the show, he was texting me about the Mets. So I said, dude, what are you doing? Come on the podcast and chat us up on the Facebook group. And I grabbed the link and I sent it to him. And I said, dude, come on and talk to us. Next thing I know, I see his face down there. So I'm like, hey, guys.
Joe and I were chatting through the private chat, so I knew it was coming, but I forgot you can't see that, Rodriguez. So my apologies.
That's okay. He's a New Yorker, so he's gonna come on. Yeah. He's gonna talk. He's gonna do the right thing. But listen, now that we've spoken to Bill, and we appreciate you, Bill. Thanks again. Call, come back on, talk to us anytime you want.
We're
getting a little close. I mean, you know, we're good because Frachie's not here cracking the whip on us, so we're okay. We're only at the halfway mark here. Producer Joe start cracking the whip in a little bit, but we're at the end of our talk really because what we really need to talk about is the bench. Well, we talked about the starters and how well they're doing. We are the catching situation is a little bit better now. We have McCant and Nito, and McCant is hopefully getting better. Terzio, give us a wife joke. So. We have a decent defensive catching team, and the pitchers seem to like them. And then we have a great staff. But the people that are back from injuries, May, that's one guy that, I'll be honest with you, I'm not trusting that much. I need to see him get a couple more games under his belt. You know, McCant is a little hurt, gets hurt a lot, but I don't know. Hopefully he'll finish the end of the year if they give him a true 50-50 split with Nito.
Pretty strong this time, though. He's swinging the bat well.
It does seem like he's swinging the bat a lot better, right? Driving the ball a little bit more. I swear to God, if I ever met Nito, I'd give him another bat because I don't know why his little butt is swinging that big end loaded bat. That's why he strikes out so much. He can't swing that thing, man. He's got the thin handle and the end loaded bat, and he's trying to reach stuff outside that he can't hit anyway. Nito, get a different bat. You'll be a better hitter. But tell me your thoughts on May. I just want to hear about May because maybe I like him and maybe I don't. So what do you think about May?
Yeah, I don't remember what he's done since he's come back, but he hasn't been terrible from what I remember. I think May has the ability to really help this bullpen out. If nothing else, just add an arm to throw into games like today or yesterday where we have – a good enough lead, and if he slips up, it's not going to take away from us getting that W. However, it will add to stretching the bullpen out a little bit and giving some of the rest of the bullpen, like Ottavino and Lugo, and of course Diaz, a bit of a rest. So, you know, we can put them into those big games because as we saw in that Atlanta series, Buck is not afraid to pull the trigger and put in his best guy when he needs to. So,
Well, you know, this may have to do something with Buck messing up in the playoffs and not bringing in his closer when he needed to. And that's how he lost that playoff series. So I think that's bit him in the butt. He's not going to let it happen again.
Baseball, you never stop learning. You know, I'm sure Tommy Lasorda, who managed for how long? I'm sure his last game managing, he learned something that day. You know, it's just that's what baseball is. It's ever evolving and you keep learning and learning. So, yeah, but yeah. Buck takes those lessons and puts them to play. So that's why we're doing so well. A lot of the credit's to Buck. Obviously,
a lot of the credit. Credit has to go to Buck because he's managing everybody's time effectively. And he's not letting anyone get too tired, or at least trying not to let people get too tired, too worn down. And the fact that it's Buck is probably one of the better reasons as to why a guy like Escobar and Kanya, who came over to play at these starters, and even Marte and these guys – will take sitting down okay. You know, you take the polar bear out of the field and you bring in Ruff, let him play first base. To be honest, DHing, it's a breeze because you're not on the field. The thing that weighs you down is playing on the field every freaking game, 162 games, 150, however many you play. that's what wears you down. But if you DH all year, you're kind of fresh, you know? And he's done a really good job. And here's what I think about our team, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, but
wait, go ahead. Tell wait me. A minute. Before you move on, because you were talking about Buck, I just want to say, because I was thinking about this just now while you were talking about it.
Okay.
And I hadn't noticed it until you were talking about it. What you haven't heard, which you probably hear every year, but I haven't heard, and we still may hear it this year, but I haven't heard any guys complaining about playing time or, you know, think about it. How every year you hear at least somebody saying, look, I just want to get my at-bats in. If I don't play regular, I get rusty. You know, you always hear that from some guys, so at least one or two players, and you don't hear that. And that's testament to Buck getting everybody the playing time and rotating guys. And just, I mean, I think that you can't possibly underestimate the impact of getting a guy like Buck in. It's like getting a top notch free agent, you know, at the top of his game. It's literally the equivalent of that.
They love him.
It's a game changer, you know, on several levels.
I'll have to correct you. Stay on with us because I believe I may have to correct you a little bit on that. Although we've had a really good season as far as that goes, we did have one player that said that needed to be play a little bit more. And guess what happened to that one player? That
was it. Tom? Was that Tom Smith?
Is Tom Smith on the roster playing? No, it was whoever said it. Tom is no longer on the team playing.
Yeah, okay. Well, that would have been either Dom or JD, I guess.
It was Dom. It was Dom who said it. And okay. If JD said anything.
Dom is still a Met, though. Dom is still a Met. He was, there you go. Billy's.
He's been put in timeout.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Well, you know what?
That's right, Billy.
You know, made an example out of him. There you go. You made an example.
I run the team. So, and that's how every major league or every professional team should be. That's the reason for a manager. Because the players are just, listen, to be a player, you have to be selfish. You have to be, there's a lot of things you have to be. And sometimes they're not nice. And it may bleed over into your real life, into your real conversation. So that's just the fact of life. That's why you need a Buck. That's why you need a great coach, somebody that'll run the team and do the right things, right? Because, who was our last manager, Keith? I don't even remember. How long ago was that? Did we have a manager last year?
Rojas.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. I was bringing Keith in to talk bad about Rojas.
Rojas. I like Rojas. I wish he was still in the organization, but Rojas did not have the tools. Buck is better.
He wasn't ready.
But he did not have the tools Buck has. You know, I wish he stayed in the organization. Sad to see him with the Yanks, but now that he's over there. But, you know, he didn't have the same tools. Would he be able to do what Buck's doing with those tools? No. Would he have done better? Probably.
20 years. He needs 20 years of managing in the majors. Managing in the majors, unless you've been a player in the majors, is not going to come easy for you. Especially when you're a guy like Rojas, even though he has the pedigree, he's grown up in baseball his whole life. He understands the game. Obviously, his dad was a really good baseball player and a very good manager. So it's there, but it's not there to win right now. And that's why we ended up with Buck, you know. And that's just the end of it. Now.
So and Dom Smith, real quick, just to give he's starting, I believe, his rehab stint, and nobody wants to comment on him. Buck had mentioned, well, you know, when he's healthy enough to return, we'll go ahead and we'll address that situation then. And Buck himself said, Dom himself said, you know, with what my contract looks like, I don't think the Mets are going to want me back. The guy's making almost $4 million this year. And, you know, if he goes through arbitration or a free agent, I'm not sure what he is at this point. He's going to want to make at least what he's making this year. Mets are not going to pay that for him. So his future with the Mets is pretty much sealed, signed, delivered.
Well, listen, there's other guys on the team that are going to be free agents that the Mets are going to probably devote their money to. You know, there's a good list of free agents, and he's not going to be one of them because he opened his mouth, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah,
that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it like, okay, you open your mouth, go get that fake hamstring injury figured out in the minors because we don't need you up here. We'll get the milkshake guy to come up and hit bombs for us and rough it out. And do something.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was, you know, he did play 58 games with the Mets this year. He did have quite a bit of a amount of at bats, 134. It's not a tremendous amount, but still, it's a good enough sample. And he didn't even hit the 200 mark. He's not even over to Mendoza.
No, no.
Zero home runs.
Odd.
I mean, you know, it's not good.
He showed a lot of promise, and it just went away for whatever reason. You know, I've always noticed for him, my opinion is I noticed that when he's hitting better, he's not doing that Ole thing over his head. He's just staying true, staying straight, and just driving the ball with two hands. When he starts doing this Ole thing, his swing goes out of whack. That's what I've seen, and I'm just a regular guy. Who knows? Pitching, well, the Met coaches should know. And that's the end of that. But since we're the hottest team in baseball, I'll be honest with you, we're kicking everybody's butt. And it's nice that we're hot right now because we have a really, really, really tough schedule coming up. Okay? We have our rivals coming up for the next 10 days, basically. Coming up, the Philadelphia Phillies. Okay? At least they're coming to our house this time. And I don't know this, but maybe producer Joe can look it up. Maybe you know, Keith. Is there someone on the Phillies that we'd really like to play against? Because I thought I saw somebody on that team that I don't like.
So I'm just gonna blurt it out because I think everybody knows the answer to this. Who knows anything about the Mets and the Yankees and trade deadlines and what happened on the trade deadline? Mets and Phillies, and what happened at the trade deadline with the Phillies? They have Noah Syndergaard on their team. Noah Syndergaard prior to that was Noah Syndergaard. What is wrong with me?
I don't know what's going on here, man.
Noah Syndergaard prior to being traded to the Phillies was traded from the Angels. We played the Angels recently, and it was this whole theory because he was supposed to pitch against us. Magically, he wasn't pitching. So we were, as Met fans, thinking, well, you're avoiding us, which made a lot of sense because then he would have to finally face the Mets media or the New York media, which he's been kind of avoiding at large. Now he's in Philadelphia, which makes it so much harder to do because we're neighboring cities, unfortunately. The problem is you're going to have to face us at some point if you stay with the Phillies. But an interesting thing is going on here. It looks like the way things are lining up, he is going to miss the Mets series again.
No way.
Looks
that way.
When
did he pitch? When's the last time he pitched?
I got to look it up. I went through the schedule, and I just remember realizing it looks like he's going to miss the Mets series.
Yeah, I just called up the probables, and the Phillies don't have anybody listed at all. The Mets have Max and Jake scheduled Friday and Saturday, but the Phillies don't have anybody listed at all for any of the games. So
Max and Jake, and then probably Bassett.
Max, Jake, and Bassett.
That's all they got. Max and Jake. That's all they have listed so far.
Excellent, excellent. So that's two out of three we're going to take from the Phillies.
And I don't feel bad for
you. How hot they think they are. Oh, listen. Let me put it this way: if we can shut these guys down in our park and actually just give him a big donut, give him nothing for those two games, it'll be one of the best days that we've had all year. Oh, I know he likes big donuts. But
Oh, my.
So two out of three against the Phillies. No, three out of three. Now that you said, I'm going to go with three out of three against the Phillies. They come to our house. We're going to take it from them. Thank you, Little John. You've made my day. Three out of three from the Phillies. What do you think, Keith?
You know, it's tough because the Phillies are a good team. And in some respects, I think right now, I don't know in general, but right now they are more of a threat, even though they're in third place than the Braves, because The Braves are playing a little wishy-washy.
No.
I'm going to take two out of three. I think they're going to get lucky in one of those games. And I'm very happy with two out of three, but I think it's going to be two out of three. I think we're taking the first two, and I think what's going to happen with the Bassett Hound, we're going to end up losing like one of those pain-in-the-ass 3-2 games or something like that.
That's a fair assumption, and I normally am cautious and I go that way, but I'm so hyped up on this Mets love for today. I mean, I'm just too hyper. I'm just too happy. Three out of three against the Filthies. You guys suck.
Six in a row.
And we're gonna fight. I think we should fight the Filthies.
Where are we at now? Six in a row right now, right?
Beat up. We're gonna be at 9 in a row pretty soon, okay?
Yeah.
9 in a row, 10 in a row, 11 in a row. I don't care. The Filthies are gonna go down. After the Filthies, unfortunately, we're gonna have to get in our pretty little private airplanes and fly over to Atlanta and play the great crap Atlanta team, the Bravos. I don't even want to call them by their real names or do anything, because they should not be the Braves anymore. However, we got four against the Braves. I'm hoping we can do a 50-50 split with them at home, because playing them at home is tough. And I don't know about you, dude. I'm worried about the Braves because they have a good pitching. And if our offense goes into the tanker, our pitching can only do so much. So I'm going to say 2 out of 4 from the Braves. So that would put us at 5 out of 7. What do you think?
So I've been pretty mulling over the go forward schedule prior to the show, getting ready for my prediction. And I couldn't find myself getting off of 2 out of 4 also.
You have us just a barely over 500 for the next 7 games.
Well, no, I have us at 4-3. Yeah, 4-3, barely over 500, I guess, over 7 games. Still not bad, right? But here's the thing. Four of those 7 games, we have we have DeGrom pitching 2 of them, and so we're going to do Scherzer, DeGrom, and then there's
four of those seven are Scherzer and DeGrom. Yeah, that's right.
It sounds weird for a second.
Scherzer and DeGrom. I got to tell you, you know, that's okay, Rodriguez. You don't have to ask me for my prediction. Fuck you.
I was waiting for Keith to talk.
You were waiting. No. You went to the next series already, but that's all right. Don't worry about it. It's all right. Shut up.
Joe, what do you think we're doing against Philadelphia? I would like to know.
God. You know, just thanks, Keith. Thanks, Keith. Thank you. I appreciate that. I also would lean. All right, you know what? Hold on a second. Hang on. There you go.
Uh-oh.
I also would say that, you know, err on the side of caution to say that we would get 2 out of 3 from you know, Philadelphia, because even though Jake and, you know, Shut up. Don't make me tell you again. I'll pull this car right over, I said. I'll pull it over.
Make that bottom red.
I'm tempted to say that, you know, we're going to sweep them. But I, like, you know, you can't think, you can't sweep. They're going to play better than the Reds, you know. And
is that
they're
Mets?
Gonna put up a fight that, like Atlanta did.
Is that Wilpon Mets era scars making us say that, Joe? Because we are a dominant team.
It's realistic. I mean, it's realistic. Phillies have, you know, I mean, I haven't seen their record, but I know
they won 9 in a row.
The Braves' ass. Right. They came right up the Braves' ass. So they're 9 out of the last 10, 6 in a row, just like us. So, yeah, to think we're going to sweep them, I don't see it. I mean, you got Max and Jake. You got to think 2 out of 3. But then,
6 in a row.
Assuming splitting with the Braves 2 out of 4, then, like Steve just said, then you're saying we're barely over 500 for the next week, 4-3. I don't see that either. I honestly see us going 5-2 at least over the next week. So one of those two series, either the Braves we're going to take 3 out of 4 or the Phillies we're going to sweep. But I see us going 5-2 over the next week. You know, so the Phillies, I don't see us going 4-3.
So just to kind of add to that and supporting more your prediction of mine, but the Braves have given us some locker room wall material with Strider and his crap talking.
We
don't need it, but when a team doesn't need locker room wall material and you give it to them anyway, it's not a good thing if you're their team providing the material. And the Braves right now are the team providing the material. So yeah, we could come out at a 3-4. I just feel like the Braves are a good team. They are the current reigning champion. Not for long, but they are the current reigning champion. Yeah, they're going to come up with pride,
That's my thought. Some pride, and they're going to be back home, and we just spanked them 4-5. And they're going to be back home, and they're going to—they're not going to let us. They're not going to let us walk over them. But
no, and I wouldn't expect them to.
We're going to have Max and Jake in two of the games there. So
then we just got to split the other two. Yeah,
really, how do you right? Even if we just split the other two, then we're still taking 3-4. I don't know.
To your point too, Taiwan Walker has something to prove because they shelled him at Shea. He may come in there with.
They did. But there's also the argument that he hurt his hip in the second pitch, and look, I feel like he redeemed himself today. 6 innings, 2 runs. I think he did very well.
Nice job. The Reds are still a major league team, and we beat them twice. They have pride too. They want to win too. Yeah. So. But I think Taiwan is going to come out to that Braves game with a chip on his shoulder and something to prove, because they shellacked him, and he's going to want to come out there and prove, and contrast, right? Strider with his
crap. Did you hear that stat Gary gave at the start of the game about his daytime starts and nighttime starts?
No.
Yeah, he likes to do it in the daytime. He likes to pitch in the daytime.
Yeah,
he doesn't have
His daytime ERA is like 1.7, and his nighttime ERA is in the sixes. And yeah, he
pretty bad.
Admits his nighttime starts. He has too much time during the day to think about his start and the lineup, and he overthinks it.
For what
it's worth. I get it.
Too much stats, too much info, man. Sometimes you don't need info. You just have to get out there and pitch. If you know what your pitches are, if your pitch is working, you throw the pitch that's working and you move it along. Too many stats, man. It just gets in your head, and next thing you know, you're really not thinking. You're just trying to react to what's going on, and you're not taking control of the game. That's why Carrasco's so much better now. He's taking control of the game. Remember that.
I would like to see more. Kind of going off what you just said, Joe, but also going off topic. I would like to see more afternoon games of baseball. I love seeing all the afternoon games today for the before back to school stuff. But, we're switching a lot of games on the weekends to night games. Weekends should be. You can't hear? Or are you scratching?
Yeah, like, I was just scratching my neck.
I miss having day games. Saturday to Sunday, 1:10 starts, it's a thing. And maybe it's more sentimental because I remember going to the park as a kid, hitting that afternoon game. You smell the hot dogs, you smell the grass, you get there early for batting practice. And I think we're getting away from that a little bit. I'd see more afternoon games, specifically games that Taiwan Walker could pitch with his 1.23 day game ERA.
Yeah, but, he can pitch all those games. I'll tell you that right now with that freaking ERA. So we're gonna go somewhere between we're gonna win 4 or 5 games for the in the next 7 games. Let's just say that. My prediction is better, 5 out of 7. So is producer Joe's. Keith is more of a fair prediction, which is probably be more accurate. But forget that. We're gonna be 5 out of 7. We're all at 5. Farachi, I know you're a 5 out of 7 because you're probably not able to bet on this, so you don't even really care.
No, he just texted me. He said 7 out of 7. Book it.
Oh, did he text you that? Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. Trying to get
7 out of 7. Book it. Yeah, absolutely, you should. Oh my God, this is funny. So let's talk about the Fuakata, Keith. Who are you going to Fuakata this week? And I want, actually, you know what? We're not going to, we have a tough seven games going on, Lars. We have tough seven games, man. You may have to double Fuakata this week. You may just have to put the double whammy. So really think about this. Who are we Fuakataing this week?
It is tough because, yeah, we're going up against our two rivals, the Phillies and the Braves. And we put ourselves in a position where we're comfortable now and we don't have to go into that series thinking, oh my God, we need to win this or we're going to lose the division.
Oh, no.
More so we're thinking along the lines of we need to win this to bury the division, which is beautiful. But they're not far enough away that if we lose, we're not in trouble. So I just want to say, from top to bottom, from the owner of the team down to their ninth hitter and into their minors who might come up to replace the people who are sucking, for you Phillies, for you Braves. And I'm gonna set aside, because that's a large scale, that's a lot of people on Fuakataing, but I'm gonna take one particular person and I'm gonna put him aside.
I know his name is
Strider.
Oh,
so you're getting a double Fuakata, Strider. So to the whole entire organization of the Phillies, the whole entire organization of the Atlanta Braves, I don't want to say the city because I know people in there and I work with people in Atlanta. So we'll just keep it to the team. Fuakata, bitches.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
So Strider.
Strider? What are you going to do to Strider?
I'm going to
cut stash. Him. Oh.
I'm going to cut him. Strider, you're a rookie. No, talking about October, talking about all this nonsense. You never even pitched in October, bro. You take your little wannabe Keith Hernandez mustache, leave it in Queens where it belongs at number 17 on the first baseline, and stick it to yourself. Fuakata.
Fuakata all day, Strider. You know what they should have done, though? Now you said that little Keith mustache thing. In my head, what popped up, that number 17 that's in the Hall of Fame thing, they should have put a mustache on it. They should just put a little mustache.
That would be cool.
Number 17. That would be pretty cool. That would be a lot of fun.
And just to elaborate a little further on Strider, I don't. He's a rookie. He's young. I hope the veterans in the clubhouse in Atlanta corrected him. He is talented, but we're going to beat your ass, bro.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't think he said anything bad. I get it. I mean, what do you want him to say? The only option he had was to say nothing. Good job, Bill. I appreciate that. That was the only real option. Don't say a word saying we got outplayed, we lost this game, blah, blah, whatever. Just be respectful. But he wanted to be the player, like I told you guys. A little while ago, a player's going to say some wrong things a lot of times because of the way he's built and the way he has to be a professional ball player.
And it's our job as fans to make him pay for it. But, you know, a little bit more.
We'll never forget that.
Let me paint it this way, right? You don't come off of a loss going to the locker room, speak to a reporter, whomever you spoke to, and then say essentially your loss was because the other team is lucky. You just don't do that.
Keith, I watched the game, okay? A lot of little lucky things happen with the Mets. A lot of little tricky things. A lot of little weird things. I know the Mets are still hot and they're doing their thing, but that good luck is just snowballing because in all they were a little bit lucky too.
You know what a good pitcher does? You remember a fateful game. And I say fateful because he came out of the game after like three or four innings that the one and only Jacob DeGrom pitched. And he went through the first inning. I think it was 40 some odd pitches.
Yeah.
There was a lot of luck on the other team side. Mm-hmm. But how many runs did the baseball porn man himself give up that game? Zero. So you make your own luck, buddy. And whatever happens on the field, you adjust. And you make it happen if you're a real player. You don't go off the field, take accountability from yourself, and say, well, the Mets are lucky. You just don't do that. You just don't do that. And all you're doing is you're giving, you know, ammo to the other team to shoot at you next time. Because you know what the Mets are going to do next time they play Strider? they're going to aim for the fences. And we have some hitters on the team that can aim for the fences. And they're going to say, luck this. Luck this.
Yeah, and if they do that, we'll lose. So let's just let the rookie talk all the nonsense that he wants to talk. And that's why he's a rookie. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't know any better. Well, you said you're Fuakataki. Screw Strider, man. You got it. You got him. You Fuakatat him. He's done. He's not going to win any more games the rest of the year. What about the voice of God, Producer Joe? What's your opinion, Producer Joe? Give us a little pep talk like you did last week. You made everybody feel so good. Keith loved it. He's not there. No? No Producer Joe now? Okay. I guess the voice of God is on a bathroom break.
Oh, looks like he dropped his connection.
Looks like he dropped his connection. All right, Keith, you're gonna have to be the voice of the whole show right now and take over because Producer Joe is having a ham sandwich somewhere.
he was microwaving.
He was microwaving something and beeping. So listen, we're gonna tie a little ribbon on it, like Farachi says, a little blue and orange ribbon on it, because we've hit the 1 hour mark, and we could talk all day about the Mets. I don't know if you want to hear us talk all day, but we can. So my prediction is 5 out of 7. We're gonna do well. Love your team. Enjoy your team. And let's go Mets.
And just real quick, check us out on DPIITB show on Instagram and on Twitter. To put it in the book show on Facebook. I had to think about what's the social media aspects again. Check us out. God. Like us. Follow us. Check us out on YouTube, Pop Culture Pros. On YouTube, definitely. On Facebook, check us out for giveaways. And let's go Mets, baby. Let's take this away.
Little promo. Bye.
Peace. Hold on. I can't find the...
Oh, my God. That's what happens.
Where's the box?